Imagine spending 27 years building a life with someone, only to discover your marriage wasn't even legal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a wild scenario, right?
Yeah.
And that's what we're diving into today with Williams v. Williams. It's a case that went all the way to the Nevada Supreme Court.
Okay.
So get ready for some twists and turns as we explore, love, law, and what happens when things fall apart in a very, very spectacular fashion.
It really is. I mean, it makes you think, doesn't it? Like 27 years.
Yeah,
we're not talking about a simple divorce. We're talking annulment.
Right.
As if those years just disappeared.
Poof.
Gone, yeah. But obviously the court couldn't ignore the reality of all those shared experiences and the property and everything that was built up.
Yeah, yeah.
So it really throws a wrench into, you know, what we think of when we think about marriage.
It really does.
And it forces us to ask, can you really just erase decades of two lives being completely intertwined?
Right. So let's rewind to the beginning.
Okay.
Marcy and Richard Williams, they tied the knot back in 1973.
All right.
Pretty straightforward so far, right?
Seems like it, yeah.
But there's a catch. Marcy, she'd been married before.
Okay.
And she believed her first marriage had ended in divorce. Why? Her first husband, he assured her that it was finalized.
Wow.
Yeah. So did she have any reason to doubt him?
Not really, no.
Yeah.
Back then, Nevada law didn't require anyone to, like, investigate or confirm that someone else's divorce was actually real.
Wow.
You know, imagine that. Just taking someone's word for it was basically the norm.
Yeah.
Wild.
Just a handshake and, yep, we're good.
That's it.
Okay.
So for 27 years, they lived as husband and wife, probably building a life, sharing finances, maybe even a family, the whole nine yards.
Right, right. And then, bam, truth bomb drops.
Oh.
In the year 2000.
Oh, no.
It comes out that Marcy's divorce from her first husband, it was never actually finalized.
Wow.
Can you imagine the shock?
I mean, that's like a huge rug pull.
I mean, one minute you're celebrating her anniversary, and the next, your whole marriage is being questioned.
Your whole life, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, this bombshell led to Richard filing for an annulment.
Of course. Yeah. Makes sense.
But here's where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
Marcy didn't back down.
Hmm.
She fought for what she believed she deserved, like a share of the property and even spousal support.
I mean, that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Legally, maybe the marriage wasn't valid, but she still invested time, energy, years.
Sure. Her life.
Her life, yeah, into this relationship.
Yeah.
Could she actually claim any of that after 27 years?
Right, right.
And this is where we get to this whole concept of a putative spouse.
Exactly, exactly. A putative spouse is basically someone who believes, like truly believes, they are legally married, even if there's some hidden legal issue that invalidates it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's more than just, you know, the black and white letter of the law.
All right.
It's about fairness, about recognizing what really happened.
Exactly. Recognizing the reality of their life.
Yeah. Okay. So what did the courts do? Did they side with Marcy and say, yep, you're a putative spouse?
Well, the initial ruling from the district court seemed to be in her favor. They granted the annulment, just like Richard wanted, but they also awarded her half the property.
Okay.
And spousal support payments. So it seemed like a pretty balanced approach at first.
Right. Recognizing both sides.
Yeah. Acknowledging the messiness of it all, you know?
It's not simple.
Not at all.
Yeah. But I have a feeling that's not the end of the story.
Oh, you know it's not. This is a Nevada Supreme Court case after all.
Exactly. So what happened next?
Well, Richard, he appealed. He wasn't too happy with the outcome. And that's when things took a bit of an unexpected turn. The Nevada Supreme Court, they upheld the property division, but they reversed the spousal support.
Wait, so they gave her half the property, but denied her spousal support?
Yep, that's right.
That seems inconsistent.
Yeah, it does.
What was the logic there?
That's a great question, and that's where we need to dive deeper into the legal nuances and really understand how the court came to their decision.
Okay.
And that's exactly what we're going to do when we continue our deep dive into Williams v. Williams.
Welcome back to our deep dive into Williams v. Williams.
Yep.
I mean, last time we left off with a real head-scratcher.
Yeah, we did.
The Nevada Supreme Court, they upheld that property division, but then they reversed the spousal support award.
Right.
And it left Marcy, well, in a pretty tough spot.
Yeah.
So what was the court thinking?
It is a fascinating legal puzzle. On the surface, it seems contradictory, right?
Totally.
But if you peel back the layers of the legal reasoning, it starts to make a little more sense.
Okay.
And And the court's decision, it really all hinged on this one crucial distinction.
Okay.
Property rights versus spousal support, specifically in the context of annulment.
Okay. So even though the marriage, it was declared null and void, the court was saying, hey, 27 years, that can't just be erased, at least when it comes to property. And they affirmed that equal split of assets because Marcy was considered a putative spouse.
Right.
So can you break that down for us? Why was that so important in this case?
Absolutely. So the court leaned heavily on this concept called community property,
okay,
which is like a key principle in Nevada family law.
Got it.
And basically, it means that any assets that the couple acquired during the marriage, regardless of whose name is on the title or the deed, it doesn't matter, they're considered jointly owned by both.
Oh, okay.
So think about it this way. Even if, let's say, only one spouse is earning an income,
right?
The law recognizes that both partners, they contribute to the marriage in different ways.
Okay, I see. So even if Marcy wasn't, say, the primary breadwinner, the court was saying, hey, she still played a part in building this life together.
Exactly.
She deserves a share of what they accumulated.
Right. They acknowledged her contributions.
Okay. But then why didn't that same logic apply to the spousal support? If she was entitled to half the property because she was acting in good faith and contributed to the marriage, why not the financial support too?
That's where things get tricky, right?
Yeah.
So legally speaking, the court drew this very sharp line between property division, which they saw as an issue of fairness, and then spousal support, which they saw as something that needed a very specific law to back it up.
So they were basically saying, we see the moral argument, but our hands are tied.
Basically, yeah. They acknowledged that it might seem unfair, but they were very clear that it wasn't their job to create new laws.
Okay.
That any changes to how spousal support is handled, especially with annulment, would need to come from the Nevada legislature, not from the courts.
So it's like they were sending a message up the chain, like, hey, lawmakers, there's a gap here. You need to fix this.
Exactly. Exactly. They were saying, this is something that needs to be addressed.
Interesting. But what about Richard's part in all of this?
Yeah.
I mean, he was the one who filed for the annulment. Did the court even consider his actions in this decision?
They did, actually. The court very carefully looked at whether Richard had acted in bad faith.
Okay.
Or if there was any sign that he had been deceitful or anything like that.
Okay.
And, you know, if they had found any evidence that he knew about Marcy's previous marriage and had hidden it, then things might have been very different.
So if there had been any kind of, like, trickery involved, the court might have been more open to that spousal support.
Exactly. Even without a specific law.
Even without a specific law. Okay. Mm. So it's almost like they were saying, look, we don't want to punish someone who's also acting in good faith.
Right.
But we're not going to let someone off the hook if they were intentionally being dishonest.
Yeah, they were definitely going for that balanced approach, right?
Yeah.
Trying to recognize the rights of both sides, but still upholding those principles of justice and fairness.
Yeah, yeah. It's a reminder that the law isn't always black and white.
No, it's definitely not. There are definitely a lot of gray areas.
Yeah.
And courts have to really carefully navigate through all of that.
It's messy, right? Real life is messy.
It is.
And sometimes, I don't know, the law can feel a little cold, you know?
Yeah.
When you apply it to these very real life situations.
I agree.
It really makes you think, what if Marcy hadn't been financially secure?
Right.
Would the court have ruled differently?
That's a really thought-provoking question.
Yeah.
And it's one that legal scholars are still debating, you know, to this day. It raises all sorts of questions about, like, access to justice and whether the laws we have, are they really protecting everyone?
Yeah, yeah.
Especially those who might be more vulnerable.
That's a good point. It's a sobering reminder that going through the legal system, it's not easy.
No, it's not.
Especially when you've got all these personal emotions mixed up in it.
Absolutely. Especially in a situation like this.
Yeah. But before we get too ahead of ourselves, you know, and dive into all the implications of this, there's one more piece of the puzzle we need to look at.
Okay.
And that's, what are the ripple effects of this case?
Yeah.
What impact could this have on, you know, future annulments and Nevada law?
Right.
So we'll explore those questions when we come back for the last part of our deep dive into Williams v. Williams. And we are back, wrapping up our deep dive on Williams v. Williams. This case It's really generated a lot of buzz, hasn't it? I mean, in the legal world and beyond.
Oh, absolutely. The Nevada Supreme Court's decision, you know, they followed the letter of the law, but it's left a lot of people wondering, you know, could this happen again? And is this really fair?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, some legal scholars, they argue that the court was just too rigid in how they interpreted the law, especially considering how clearly Marcy entered this marriage in good faith.
Yeah.
To deny her spousal support after 27 years, even though she contributed to the relationship, I mean, it just feels, I don't know, it feels wrong.
Right. It does raise questions about fairness, doesn't it? I mean, the court recognized her contributions when they divided the property. They acknowledged how their lives were intertwined. But then to draw a hard line on financial support, it's like saying, well, that's where our responsibility ends.
Yeah, it does make you wonder, should courts always be bound by just the strict letter of the law? Especially in situations like this, where the outcome, well, it doesn't feel morally right. Shouldn't there be some consideration for the spirit of the law?
Yeah.
You know, for justice, for fairness?
It's a tough question, really. On the one hand, we want our courts to interpret the law, not rewrite it. That's kind of the foundation of our system. But at the same time, you know, laws need to change as society changes, especially in areas like family law, where relationships are becoming so much more complex.
It's true. And this case really highlights how there can be these gaps between legal principles and the consequences those principles have in the real world.
Right.
It shows how justice isn't always served in a neat little package.
It definitely isn't.
So what are the lasting implications of Williams v. Williams? Could this lead to changes in Nevada law or maybe influence how similar cases are handled moving forward?
Well, it's definitely had an impact already. I mean, in Nevada, this case really solidified the recognition of putative spouses. It gives some protection for people who end up in a similar situation.
Okay.
But it also highlights this huge difference between property rights, which the court was willing to grant based on fairness, and spousal support, which they felt they couldn't touch without a specific law.
So it's kind of a mixed bag, right? It's a win for putative spouses when it comes to property, but it's also a bit of a warning.
Right.
It shows how important it is to do your homework, you know, even when you're head over heels in love.
Absolutely. Always dot your I's and cross your T's.
Exactly. Exactly. Because maybe if Marcy had just, you know, double-checked those divorce records, maybe all this could have been avoided.
It's possible, yeah. It highlights the importance of staying informed about the law and getting good legal advice.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's a reminder that the law, even though it tries to be consistent, it can sometimes have these inconsistencies and gaps.
Mm-hmm.
And those gaps can have real consequences for people. But maybe those gaps, maybe there are also opportunities for change.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Could Williams v. Williams be the push that Nevada needs to update its laws?
It could be. This case exposed a real weakness in the system, and it wouldn't be surprising to see lawmakers step in and try to fix it.
To make things more fair for everyone.
Exactly.
You know, it really shows you how dynamic the law is, right?
Yes.
What was considered settled law a few years ago, it could all change with a new case or as society changes.
It's constantly evolving.
Yeah. And Williams v. Williams, it's unique, it's thought-provoking, and it'll probably be debated and discussed for years to come.
Oh, for sure. It really makes you think about some fundamental questions, doesn't it?
Yeah. Like, how do we balance these legal technicalities with the messiness of real relationships?
Right. Or how do we balance the role of the courts, you know, making sure they're not overstepping, with the pursuit of actual justice and fairness?
Yeah.
And, you know, how do we make sure the law keeps up with the times, how our lives are changing?
Big questions. Well, we've reached the end of our deep dive today, but this conversation, it doesn't have to end here. Williams v. Williams, it sticks with you, you know, makes you think.
It does.
It reminds us that the law isn't just a bunch of rules in a book. It's alive. It's evolving. And these cases, they shape it.
And if you're as fascinated by family law as we are, I encourage you to keep learning, keep digging.
Yeah. Read those cases, follow the debates, see what lawmakers are doing. It's a complex field, but it's always changing, always something new to discover.